The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now we are coming to you live from the 40th floor of this incredible skyscraper in the heart of Philadelphia. And the one thing you can't miss when you're here is all the talk of America's 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And of course, that happened in this historic city. To tell us more about this beautiful city and its 250 years of history, we're joined in studio by Jim Murphy from realphillyhistory.com, author of Real Philly History, Real Fast, and a tour guide as well. Jim, you're very welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be here.
This city is steeped in American history, isn't it?
It is. I love to tell people, though, people don't realize that Philadelphia was very young compared to New York City and Boston. They were 58 and 52 years old when we were born in 1682. So they would have already been eligible for AARP, or the American Association of Retired People, before we were born. And by 1770, we were the largest, most important, most cultured city in America.
And so much of America, I mean, this was, you could say this is kind of the cradle of the American Republic.
It is. William Penn hoped that his city would be the seed of a nation. And the first two Continental Congresses were here. The Declaration was passed here. The Articles of Confederation, which were no good at all, they were passed here. And then we ratified the Constitution here. So I would say that William Penn was right. It was the seed of a nation.
And Jim, what was life like back then in early Philadelphia, in the emerging United States?
It was very different from anything I had learned growing up, because I was told William Penn had, there was farmland that he had bought, and he settled Philadelphia. Well, what I didn't know is that this was a howling wilderness, according to Francis Daniel Pastorius. It was hard wood. And William Penn's city is only, his original city was just 1,280 acres. He wanted a 10,000 acre city, but he couldn't get it because he was a latecomer.
So you mentioned William Penn, or Billy Penn, I think you know
both.
Him in Philadelphia. Tell us about some of the key figures in Philly. If you think Philadelphia, who are you thinking? Obviously, he's first and foremost.
I always talk about Penn and Ben, William Penn and Ben Franklin, because Penn was given 45,000 square miles of territory from the king to set up Pennsylvania. And Penn set up a whole city, and then 20 years later, Ben Franklin came along and improved everything he touched. So between the two of them, the city grew like Topsy, because we allowed people to come practice any religion they wanted. There were only four colonies that did not pay a religion tax, and we were one of them. And William Penn said, come and practice any religion you want, and the only obstacle, the only thing is that if you don't believe in Christ, you can't serve, you can't be a member of the assembly. But you can come and practice your religion. And by 1790, there were 30 or 33 different churches here in Philadelphia because of William Penn.
So always a kind of an inclusive sort of a tolerant kind of ideology here. And remind people listening about the importance of people who wouldn't necessarily, because this is going back to Ireland, about the importance, why Ben Franklin is particularly famous.
Well, Ben Franklin is what I would call a polymath. He's probably the most brilliant human being that I have ever heard about. He came to Philadelphia almost by luck. He left Boston because his brother was beating him up, and he was an indentured servant, and he broke that agreement. He went to New York, and while he was in New York looking for work as a printer, a Philadelphia printer was there and said, oh, we have three print shops in Philly, come to us. And he did, and after becoming a millionaire in about 15 years, he entered politics and just changed everything about America and signed all the important documents, helped get the French involved in the war to help us win the Revolutionary War. I mean, he was involved in everything.
Another man associated with Philadelphia is a native originally of County Wexford, the father of the Irish Navy, or U.S. Navy, I should say.
John Barry.
Yeah.
Yes, one of my all-time heroes. And there are, when I take people behind Independence Hall, almost always there's a crowd because the statue of Barry, he's pointing at the Delaware River and he's saying to the British, I'm coming after you and I'm coming after you hard. And people take pictures of it. They don't even know who he is. It just says Barry. But there's something in that. I think it's the second most photographed statue in Philadelphia.
We have to
the
get
Rocky
down there.
Statue being number one.
And of course, he, as a young boy, was evicted. His family were evicted from their home in County Wexford by the British. So there might have been a bit of
a grudge, a bit of baggage there.
Yeah. I think it's probably
I'm sure there was. And at one point in the Delaware River, he was south of here. And the British had taken Philadelphia. They took Philadelphia in September of 1777. In March of 78, Franklin was below the river, and he was capturing commercial vessels. And one of a military schooner, the Alert, came up river, and Barry got on the front of his little boat with a gun. But then he sent the other six barges heading toward that same the military vessel and the two ships that he had captured. It didn't know who to fire at, and it sent up a surrender signal, and it had Officers' Wives Club on it. They were gallivanting up the Delaware, and he captured the vessel. He let the women go, but he kept all the military people, and then he sent the food that they were dining on to George Washington, and the British got happy. They asked him to switch sides. He had a brother who was a Tory, a brother-in-law, I'm sorry. And I think it was the brother-in-law who approached him, and Barry almost threw him off the boat. He was not a guy to play around with.
I know, I'm just reading the same text you are. Is this true? William Penn comes from the marina in Cork. There's a plaque there describing it. We just got a text in from one of our listeners.
I think he was born in London, but he spent time, his family had an estate in Cork, and
Quakers.
He spent time in Cork.
They did, yeah. Because his father was given a lot of land by the king, and at one point William Penn picked up the taxes or checked them for tax money, so I wouldn't be surprised.
So a huge Irish influence on the founding fathers of Philadelphia and Pennsylvania.
Yes. And in fact, I have read that 40% of Washington's army were Irish-related people, whether it was Scotch-Irish or Catholic-Irish. There were a lot of Irish, and they didn't like the British.
His family were awarded the estates in Ireland by Oliver Cromwell, so he didn't have a lot in common
with
the father of the U.S. Navy that we just spoke about. Tell us, bring us more up to speed to today. Philadelphia is seen very much as a kind of a cultural and educational hub.
It is, and in a way it's surprising because we are overshadowed by Washington and New York. But I used to do a lot of tours for people that would come from Mumbai, and the other guide, their Indian guide, would get on and say, Philadelphia used to be the fourth largest city in the country, and now they're the sixth. And I had to come up with an answer for that. And my answer is this, that Houston and Phoenix have passed us, but they basically just lassoed everything in their area and called it a city. We are still about 140 square miles. Houston is around 500 square miles. Phoenix, I think, is 600 or vice versa. So we are still, and there's only three cities in America with a density of 12,000 people per square mile or more. And I consider density of cities what makes them interesting and exciting. And the only three are New York, Chicago, and Philadelphia with that density.
Okay. We have a thing in Ireland called the curse, and it's related to a team called Mayo, which are not able to win the All-Ireland because of various things. But you too have a curse here, the curse of Billy Penn.
Yes, and I almost brought a statue, but I realized it's radio and it wasn't going to help you. But we actually... William Penn's statue is 548 feet high.
We can actually see it from the
window
here.
We're almost at eye level here.
And by the way, while I think of it, we used to call the clock on City Hall Big Pen when they first, and I didn't know that until I did a story on it. Our clock is larger than the Big Ben at the Tower of in London. It's about 2 feet wide, bigger in circumference. But it's twice as high as the one in London, so it looks smaller. But anyway, I got off
the
my
curse. The curse of William Penn on the sporting.
We
franchise.
Were not. We had a gentleman's agreement not to build higher than William Penn's or Billy Penn's hat. And then in 1982, we broke that agreement and broke ground at One Liberty Place, which is one of the tallest buildings in town. And that started the curse. In 1980, all four of our professional teams were in playoffs at the end of the year. After we broke ground, we never sniffed another championship until 2008, when the head of Comcast, David Cohen, who was a sports buff, put a statue of William Penn about this big at the top of the Comcast building.
Which is the tallest building now, isn't it?
It was.
Then
the technology.
So that his hat still remains
yes.
at the tallest thing in town.
It is. And now then we built the technology center and we put one there. Now 2 years ago, the Eagles...
Mayo needs to have a listen to this.
2 years ago, the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. One of a local man came to the City Hall Tourist Center and wanted one of these statues. The office was under renovation and they didn't have any. So one of my friend, a guide, she brought in her personal statue from home. He took it to the Super Bowl, and I think it was, I can't remember whether it was Atlanta or New Orleans, but he put it in the tallest building in town. So Billy Penn was again top dog. We won that Super Bowl handily, and we broke the curse.
Was that the first time one of your franchise teams had won a national championship?
2008 was the first time, and that was after David Cohen put the statue in Comcast. We won again in 2017, but by then we also had put it on, I think the Technology Center had passed it by then, and we put it there. So he's still the top dog.
Yep. He absolutely does. And there's also a lot of Irish bars here, including some quite famous ones.
Yes, McGillan's Old Ale House, one of my favorites.
Yeah, we're pretty familiar with that one, Shane Coleman, aren't
Yeah, we? I was refused entry there last night.
They didn't accept that he was over 21.
The guy thought...
Are you kidding me?
The guy said I only look 20. he didn't, obviously. But they insisted on IDing everybody, and you don't get in without ID.
I believe in Pennsylvania you almost have to. I mean, even if you buy... something at Wawa, our convenience stores, you must show, I have to show an ID anytime I buy beer. Now that's pretty crazy, I'm over 80, but
yeah, well Shane Coleman was going, but yeah,
I was kind of flattered, to be honest, for ID. It hasn't happened in about 25
years. I think the guy
years.
Actually had something wrong with his eye, was it? I think there was something.
I think he must have. Listen, we've got a little bit of time in Philadelphia before we fly home tomorrow. Give us like two or three must-see places.
The must-see places are the Liberty Bell and the President's House. The President's House is where George Washington and John Adams were when we were the capital of the United States. The President's House is under fire from the Trump administration. They've taken down half of the signs that talked about slavery because they don't think slavery was really that bad. We're fighting them all the time about that. Right across the street is, next to that is the Liberty Bell. And one of the all-time places you absolutely have to go is across the street from the Liberty Bell is the Curtis Building. It has a Tiffany mosaic. They call it the Dream Garden Tiffany Mosaic. It's the largest Tiffany mosaic. It's either the largest in the world or one of three in the world. And we almost lost it because Stephen Wynn, the gambling magnate from Las Vegas, bought it from the estate. And Philadelphia went bonkers and said, nope, we can't have this happen. It won't leave anymore. It's open from like 7 in the morning till 10 at night. And it is just magnificent.
Look, thank you so much, Jim. It has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. That is Jim Murphy, the author of Real Philly. real Philly history, real fast. Absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming into us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Enjoy your time in Philly.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.